No more tacos.
I'm worried. You're making
We get some friends for me.
It was going to show up. It would be early.
And money?
I don't see him on there.
Okay. We are good. I have a motion to accept the minutes as minutes.
I will motion unless anybody says anything.
Second motion.
Thank you. All those in favor of accepting our minutes?
Right.
From the audience. This time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on the future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters called to the audience. In the first call to the audience, we have Jennifer Shopland from Friends of the Ovisa Park.
He's right there.
Hey, Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
So, Jennifer?
I'm Jennifer Shopland. I'm the chair of the board of directors at Friends of Rio Vista. And I'd just like to invite all the commissioners and park staff to a community engagement event that we're organizing at this park. At Rio Vista Natural Resource Park in November. And this will be a chance to showcase conservation efforts at the park and to involve the community conservation planning and action. The name of the event is Wild Rio Vista, the Living Park. And it's we're planning it for Sunday, November the 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it'll be on the west side of the park near Ramado. And as well as Friends of Rio Vista, we're going to be partnering with some, we'll be tabling with some partners, the Tucson Archaeological Society, Friends of Danny Lopez Park, Friends of Fort Lowell Park, Rio Vista Equestrians, and we've been talking to Jasmine about having representatives there from Peach on connecting children to nature. And we'll be sending you more information later, but we wanted to tell you ahead of time so that you can get it on your calendars. And if we've talked to Sierra about maybe having some materials from parks there as well, so we would love to be able to get those out to visitors as well.
Okay.
So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Frank Sotomayor from Joaquin Marietta Park.
He's in route.
He's in route. Okay, so we'll come back to him. Victor Rivera, committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Victor Rivera, member of the committee, the forum that changed the name from Joaquin Murrieta Park to Salomon Babeneso Park. I'm here to tell you I'm a member of the Pima County Parks and Recreation Commission. I've sat on the commission for 18 years now. This was going to be my last year. But something happened that I just couldn't leave the commission with ran a survey, and they ignored the west side on the 9 mile from Grant Road to 22nd Street. So we're going to try and fix that up. Not to remove the tape called West Side Bios Association. But I'm here to talk about Salomon Valdenegro. In 1969, I was a junior at Tucson High, and when he organized a walkout at school, he was a young man of 20, 21 years old, who had the vision and knew what was going on. We were being channeled. In those days, the counselors used to tell you, why do you want to take algebra for it or geometry for it? You're not going to use it in your life. I think general math, consumer math, so that satisfies the credit for your master. And do you speak Spanish at home? You don't need to take 2 years of foreign language, you know, but you needed those credits to get to the University of Arizona. We were being channeled, telling us not to take it. So Salomon had the vision. He saw what was happening there. He organized the student walk out. I didn't walk out, but my sister did.
She's a rebel.
As I said, I've been on the commission for 18 years. I've been, where you guys are at, commissioner. My first meeting 18 years ago was to rename a baseball field at Manzanita Park after a young man by the name of Zach Sasueta, who was killed in a drive-by shooting. And
that's one of ours.
I hope when we go before the city council that you can recommend that we rename Joaquin Murrieta Park after Salomon Baldanero Park. There's going to be a lot of other people that are going to speak at the city council meeting, and I hope you read the letters of recommendation for the name change. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julio Ramirez.
I'm not here. Oh, I have a little cold, so my voice doesn't carry well. I'll do my best. So, Raul Ramirez, I live in 1931 West Bricta, which is kind of across the street from Murrieta. I've been here about 45, 50 years.
That's all strong.
But, yeah, our kids grew up using the park. When we moved into the area, it was, the trees are very small. And now, and I participated in several of the planning sessions. There was two of them for master planning development. So myself and my wife participated in that. Got involved in the renaming Murrieta Park. I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. Salomon was the person that was most responsible for the development of that park, along with the Rio Center. In the 70s, early 70s, there was a protest movement, the West Siders, that included Barrio Hollywood and Barrio Solaco. Now they call themselves Barrio Del Rio. And they demanded for the city of Tucson to provide services, especially recreational services and streets and safety. And out of that protest movement came Murrieta Park. And initially it was named Northwest Park, and then later on they changed it to Murrieta. Now, in talking to Salomon, he tells me that the residents actually did vote initially for Murrieta, not Northwest. And when he was on this commission at one time, they made a motion to relook at the records for the city of Tucson, documented it, and they did, and they saw, and they changed it. But Murrieta, Northwest was maybe there about 10 years or so. So, you know, so it's, Murrieta's a good name. So we're not knocking Murrieta. I think, at the time, it represented the, protest movement. But I think times have changed, and, it's really, as looking at the policies for the city of Tucson, there's a direct connection to somehow the person has a bearing to that name. Now, there's a colleague that's going to be speaking. Unfortunately, he's late, and he would have been next. So, but I'm a little bit off, but he's going to fill in some gaps when he gets here. That's Frank Sotomayor. But in looking at your policy and trying to work with it, there were some issues that came up for us. And so I have it's a 6 points. I left the Atlanta, but I only made 6 copies for the commissioners. I apologize to the other one. So the first thing I think is important is that there be a pre-conference with the managing part of the policy covering all city assets. And in this case, the managing department.
I'm sorry. Since we do have the list and your 3 minutes are up, you have the list.
So my timer up?
Yeah. Okay. Went fast.
Righty, well.
Is your friend on his way?
Yeah, he should be here soon. Can I take his time?
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take a moment. Gather your bearings.
All right. We have 3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes. Tiny.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
I'm Frank Sotomayor. Grew up in Barrio Hollywood, as Sal did. And I've known Sal since we were kids. And the reason we wanted to have the park renamed in Niagara Hotel is that, as Victor, I'm sure, told you, he's the person most responsible for the park being formed in the first place. And living in Barrio Hollywood, I remember the dusty streets. We were without hardly any city services. Every time there was a mayor or a council running for office, they came to Barrio Hollywood, and then after the election, they never saw them again. Dell was able to say, we need to change now. Now, we submitted our application for renaming. We went through all the steps, and we learned that our application had been accepted with the start of the 45-day public comment period. So we were sailing along. We had raised the $10,000 for community people, some of them giving them $5, $10, and we raised the $10,000. We collected 700 petition signatures in favor, and then so things were sailing, and then Laura, where are you?
Right here.
Laura had my call earlier one evening and said, well, we have a second application for renaming the park, and I think Raul took it kind of calmly. He's a calm guy. I'm not. And I just had cataract surgery, so I'm a little bit difficult to see everything. I was preparing all kinds of documents to pass out, but at this point, no need. So Raul called me, and I blew up. I just had no idea that a second application could be accepted. So we wrote to Laura, we wrote to the city manager, because one of her people used to work for the city, and said, oh, you should also copy the city manager. City manager wrote back saying, well, let me call that surprise number one, that the second applicant had been heard from. Okay. And then we wrote to Laura and the city manager, kind of saying nicely, we don't think that this should be possible. You've already accepted our application, and so forth and so on. And then we heard back from the city manager very nicely saying, we are not precluded from accepting a second application. And we wrote back one, how much time?
That's it. We're done.
Can I have one more minute? Can I have one more minute?
30 seconds.
Yeah.
So we stand at that point. We don't know the status of the second application. We hope to learn soon. We're asking the commission to move swiftly on this as much as possible. We learned that there's a possibility that the November meeting may be canceled. We are very distressed by that. We're hoping that the meeting will be held or will be held on another date in November, so that things will move quickly. Thank you very much. I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
Oh.
Is there another call to audience on?
Is there anybody online that would like to address the commission?
Laura, can we have an update on both of those applications?
Yeah, I mean, it would be planned to bring it to you.
Thanks. Next, we have the pending budget fundraising subcommittee report. Is that you?
Yeah, that's us.
This is us.
So we have
a bit of a slow start because Director Hanway couldn't make the first meeting, so we had to wait for some of the questions to be answered, and evidently they were just answered recently. And Maurice, if you've got it in front of you, if you want to head forward with that, that would be great.
Sure. Okay, so to recap the whole story, if you remember our last meeting, I raised the question whether the staff could put some kind of event together. Okay. So we could invite, okay, some folks, to help us, as far as the budget is concerned. Okay. We had a discussion a few months ago, if you remember, budget situations were starting to come up, where I did mention that this was not a drill. We had to start doing something about it. So we, to make it short, we started a subcommittee with Manon Getzi and Derek Gregg and myself and the director, Lena Hamway. And we come up with some good ideas. Okay. We just received yesterday an email from Diana Schroeder regarding a FEMA parklands.org organization, into which we may be using. We want to look into it, but we may be using as far as receiving the funds. Okay, there's a whole structure that we have to put together. Okay, there may be some conflicts of interest, so we have to go over it as well. But basically, this is not new. Okay, we knew that budget was going to be cut, so if we go by the last City of Tucson meeting for the fiscal year 2026, what happened? Okay, Parks and Recs lost, $2.1 million? Okay, so we're talking big money. Okay, I don't know whether we're going to be able to make up the $2.1 million with our, efforts, fundraising efforts, but we're going for it. So we're going to have a meeting shortly. I guess Diana is going to schedule it. Okay. And we're going to go over it one more time, see what we can do. Okay, this is no longer a subject. Okay, this is now an ongoing thing. We need the money. Okay, we need to water the trees. We need to be able to retain as many services in Parks and Rec as we can. Okay, and time is of the essence. Okay, it's a good thing. We've already had a few meetings, to get the ball rolling, so we have a little idea what we're dealing with. Now we have to put up a structure, to accept, donations from, various entities that we're going to reach once we have a legal structure going. At this point in time, I would like to know whether we have a lead in the staff, in Parks and Rec staff, that could be in charge of putting up an event. So we could invite a certain number of possible donors who could help out.
What is the specific ask for the staff to organize the event?
Well, basically, whenever you want to join.
Sure, sure. So the intent is, now that we have a nonprofit org that we can actually help utilize, is the intent is to request basically an open house hosted by Parks and Recs, something that, you would do normally just to, get community members involved, to see what you guys are working on, to see the different programs that you offer. I believe you've done an event like this in the past, maybe a couple years ago. But the intention would be for, a number of the folks, through the nonprofit to utilize their contacts throughout the community and the business community to go and see the different activities that Tucson Parks and Recs offer, what you've been able to offer in the past, what your biggest program success programs are, programs that are potentially at risk, and then the intention would be to try to draw the support from the businesses and public to support those programs. And so while it's not a fundraiser because we can't do fundraising, it's an educational opportunity for folks to learn about Parks and Recs, so folks to see exactly what different things are being challenged within the department, and then them to reach out to the the nonprofit organization to determine whether or not they want to, you know, help any specific of those projects. So that would be the intent. But in order to do that with knowing that you're short staffed, knowing that, you know, there's resource constraints and things like that, we need to have somebody from the Parks and Rec Department that can speak to us about, you know, what the left and right limits of that is that you could do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the most prudent thing would be to try to set a date that's far enough away to be able to plan for that.
Yes.
The other thing, too, that I wanted to mention, because you mentioned the nonprofit, the link that Diana shared that I had found with Pima County, I don't really know much about what their focus on, other than the fact that they are tied to Pima County Parks. I thought it would, I was hoping that they were going to have a contact list on there for someone to be able to speak to see how they're set up and their mission and all that stuff, and wasn't, that the website doesn't have a lot of that. So
we
really
can take that on to be into that.
But I provided it because I didn't even know that they existed, and so I was tooling around their site for that.
Well, then the good thing too is that even if the nonprofit doesn't work out, there's nothing that says that you know, the city of Tucson can't accept a donation that's tagged for Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
so
and
we can't specifically
we have a mechanism to accept a donation. We have everything set up on the website for that, so that's good news, right? And I think the idea of doing an open house, it's not a terrible idea, because it's something that. Recently I was thinking through, like, making sure that neighborhood associations and the community remembers what it is that we do. And there's probably going to be some engagement coming up as well around possible fee, adjustments. That's something else that's being talked about, but not ready to start publicizing. So I'm just thinking in my head, maybe this is something that ends up being dual purposed and helping us once I get a time frame from the manager. And then we can also talk about how does it look, because obviously we cover a huge area and different wards, and the fee discussion would require us to go to every single ward and host something. And that could be a really good touch point to bring people in to educate them about what we have. And then also allow us to talk to them about any changes coming up in the department. So January, February is when I anticipate that we'll probably be ready to do something like that. Does that sound like a good timeline for you?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, you know, I think that by then that would give us enough time to work with your representative to figure out exactly what it included.
Right.
And then also reach out to folks that potentially, to attend. Yeah.
Yep.
Also, it would be nice, Diana mentioned that scheduling a meeting for the subcommittee. Okay, if you could attend, that would be great. Okay, so you know we could exchange some some ideas across the table, you know, and get things going. We could do it. Okay, we have to do it. Okay, so let's do it.
So I have one question around this. So we have this other foundation, which is not associated with necessarily Tucson Parks and Rec. Through this foundation, though, can we advertise since it's through Pima County?
I can't really answer for the foundation.
Yeah.
I think really the next step would be, I guess in my mind when I saw it, was maybe one of the members to subcommittee members to reach out and just find out, because there wasn't a ton of information there. I saw where it looked like that was where you could donate directly to aquatic programming or capital investments. I mean, it seemed kind of interesting, but no main point of contact. So I don't know what their bylaws are.
I'm looking at their website as we're speaking, and they have two types of donations, restricted and unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
Restricted are those earmarked for specific projects such as Brandy Fenton National Memorial Park, environmental education, historic canoe ranch, and a Chuck Culberry loop. The list of projects can be found on the current projects page. Unrestricted donations help fund water safety programs and swimming lessons for undeserved children. So
we kind of have the same thing right now.
Yeah.
So if you like right now, Councilmember Cunningham's doing some fundraising for Palo Verde Park, and we've had folks that have gone in there and donated specifically to that project, and then we've had others that have donated just to parks, and it goes into a more of a general pot.
So I would imagine that they may be open to expanding, you know, their their umbrella donation, you know, pools. You know, so let's work on that. Let's see what we can do. Do you think Diana may be able to call him up and try to get a feel, from that particular foundation, how they feel about it?
Sure.
Okay, great. Because I see there's a phone number on their page. Okay.
Don't want to add to your workload. You know, we can do it. We can
do it. I have no problem doing it.
Yeah. So. It just, what the only thing that one of the things I'm fully interested in is, you know, if we can advertise for that, foundation as, you know, regular people, just to say, hey, we have certain projects that need help, and where funding has gone down because of federal limitations. So this is what we need. And I just want to be able to make sure we can do that legally and not have a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve, the other thing I think that we were looking for is, especially now that you have the line items of reductions that are likely to hit your budget, is kind of a focus areas or outlines of, you know, where you need the most help. Because I know that, you know, a lot of folks are going to ask that question, especially even if you have an open house afterwards, they're going to say, hey, that sounds great. I want to help support. Where would my support go the furthest? And so if at one of our subcommittee meetings, you can come and have that discussion with us, I think that'd be very helpful too.
Yeah.
Yes, I see that looking at the budget, and as far as parks and recreation, it goes maintenance reduction, parks position, one-time savings, recreation program and facility reductions, recreation positions, one-time savings, and like I said, it comes up to $2.1 million. So I guess whatever money, you know, we raise, you know, could be used for some of it. Okay. Your pick. You know what you need.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always happy to come and talk about the ability to set different focus areas. I have learned that people care about different things in parks, right? Depending on who you talk to. And so it's probably a good idea to have kind of a little menu that folks could decide, and certainly the current cuts are a good place to start, because then we can backfill into what we know that we've reduced.
And there's always things that were never really on that budget that should have been as well. And now even getting cut harder.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but we always have need.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying, in earlier sessions, it's no longer a drill. We're into it, so let's do it.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Report.
Now we have the budget update.
By sharing it, I did allude that, you know, things can sometimes at the table be discussed and changed, but everything pretty much stayed that was called for. The 2.1 is moving forward. I would say some of the bigger hurts with that is the fact that we have 8 full-time positions that we are not filling for the rest of this year. 4 in parks on the maintenance side and 4 on the rec side. And so we're going to definitely have to look at how we build capacity for the teams that are going to be short-staffed. We have non-perm positions that are affiliated with the park side. We had a feeling something like this might be coming, and so when we lost some of those folks, the 18, we didn't aggressively fill. And those folks that are still with us, 3 of them actually are in pre-employment right now for full-time jobs, so they'll stay with the city, 2 in parks, 1 in Tucson Water. And the remaining 5, we have an idea internally that may or may not work to be able to retain them. But if that does not work out, I have 2 departments that are not funded through the general fund that have positions, non-perm positions, where potentially if they want to and they're interested, they can transition. So from my perspective, we are not doing anything along the lines of layoffs. We are figuring out creative solutions for the folks that are impacted and offering them the opportunities to still stay employed. They have to make a decision because they may not want to work in another department, but being able to secure solutions along those lines is something that I've been working on. The other, I would say, programmatic impacts that we anticipate we'll get some feedback on is going from 7 days a week to 6 days a week to the regional centers. And then just shortening a little bit of what the day looks like at neighborhood centers. So 2 hours at each. And it's really not a huge lift, but it does save us money. It saves us money on non-perms and we're able to rearrange some of our full-time staff. So really a lot of what the 2.1 is the easy things to start shaving back and not have a significant impact, negative impact on the public. So
I had a question on that, and I'm probably not, I know I'm not seeing anything that you don't already know. So I've done a lot of work on the, on the other government side and maintenance, facility maintenance, vehicle maintenance, all that kind of maintenance. Routine maintenance is usually one of the first things to get mm-hmm. hit, right? Because it's an easy thing to identify. That's a one-time kind of saving cost. But, the industry standard is that, when you skip that routine maintenance, it ends up costing you two to five times
on the back end, yeah.
Along there. And so with Tucson, you got over 130 parks, right? And so just looking at the initial budget and plugging simple numbers, that's, your best case scenario, you're looking at an annual increase of about potentially $1 million. By that deferred maintenance. So you're saving $500,000 now, but next year it might cost you twice as much.
And I do believe the city manager recognizes that. A lot of the conversation has been around it's not easy to say that we have to pull back. But we have the requirement to not also overspend. And so when you go to where we are now, and this package is still leaving us $10 million short. So it's very likely that December, January, additional conversations will be had around where else can we trim. So one of the items called out is about delaying equipment purchases. Well, the conversation that we had with them was by way of ARPA dollars, we just replaced all of our small equipment from gas to electric. But because we just did it, all the batteries, the equipment, everything is new. So there was a level of confidence in being able to offer up that value. I think it was somewhere around $110,000 of the $600,000 that you see under parks for this year, because we don't anticipate having to do a major battery replacement program until next year.
Yeah.
So that's why you see two columns, a one-time and a reoccurring. I don't disagree with you that we're gonna see some pain points. General Services, which does all of our facilities maintenance, they have called out on their list selective preventive maintenance, increasing time before performing maintenance. So it's not just parks that's also going to be kind of feeling it, but it's why they have to look creatively at other revenue streams. Maybe things don't continue on the path that they spoke about it yesterday. They're being very conservative on the revenue projections, but if it does hold to where it is, we're not ending the year in a very good place.
That kind of leads me to a follow-on question for you.
Yeah.
So, and the previous discussion that we had. So if you're able to get outside funding, through donations or grants or whatever, You know, a lot of folks, like you said, right, they know their things. Maintenance isn't a sexy thing to volunteer to pay for. But, you know, children and family programs are, educational programs are. So if you get funding through, donations for those programs, are you eligible to shift funding around?
It has to be
restricted.
It has to be, okay. So let's start with, we get a $50,000 donation for KidCo. Let's just say that. And we're allowed to maybe even defer spending that or actually applying it to KidCo until the new fiscal year, then part of the budget discussions, we can talk about possibly moving money from, say, KidCo over to parks.
Okay.
So those conversations can happen. It's kind of the conversation that we want to have around the folks that are general maintenance workers that we think can actually provide a service that we are using a vendor now to do at a very high price. But they would have to agree to kind of let me give up the general fund money in operating and keep the salaries because we've basically put here, we're not going to have those salaries, right? So I think that there's flexibility for us always. We just have to have the situation to have the conversation. And then what I've learned too is to codify it in writing so that it's documented and everybody remembers where everything is going. Because we have so many moving pieces that it has been hard. And so we do a pretty good job of tracking. Andy is like my go-to person of like keeping the finance team accountable on things that we've decided to do so that we are all on the same page, when it comes to the numbers that we think we have.
Thank you.
If I may interrupt, there's a point here. I'm looking at the reports from Anna Rosenberg, Chief Financial Officer, Assistant City Manager. Okay. And basically, you know, it all comes down to first quarter revenues trending below budgeted levels. What does that mean? It means that the service industry is not seeing foreign tourists coming from Europe and wherever they come from, you know, China and whatnot. This is not a situation that is going to improve anytime soon. Okay, if anything, it's going to get worse. So moving funds around is one good thing. Okay, but I think we need to seriously concentrate on revenue generation. Whatever is legal, we're going to do it because there's not going to, you know, they're going to cut money even worse. Okay. We have $2.1 million budget cut for fiscal year 2026. Okay. I can already see the writing on the wall for fiscal year 2027. If we get, we're going to get probably double budget cuts. So again, like I said, you know, we need to become as financially independent as possible. And it's something we could speak in the budget committee about what's doable. Okay, we're going to need to get some kind of flexibility from the city, okay, as far as, you know, what can we do to raise money since we cannot depend on the city for revenues, okay, which they're not getting. So this is part of the whole, you know, this is part of our work. We're going to work on it. Otherwise, we're not going to have anything to work with. Okay. It's just the point I wanted to raise. But like I said, you know, let's think ahead of the, you know, ahead of the gap and, you know, the next 3 years at least, expect more budget cuts every year. We are what's the name of it? A particular city, you know, we have a lot of foreign population that we're accepting. Look at this, you know, sanctuary. We're a sanctuary city. That's the word I was looking for. And we all know, okay, that this, we are a target.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At some point, it's going to come to us. Okay. So we need to be ready for it. Okay. That's my point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just made sure to put it on the agenda so that you guys have the awareness.
Yeah. Thank you. How can, when you sell things at auction, like your old cars and old things, is that generating funds for
General services usually handles that, and I think that just goes back into the general fund, commingled account, and I don't know how much, someone was asking me about, and I was like, if it's at auction from us, you probably don't want it, because we've cannibalized it and made it into everything we could, but I don't know how much they're actually generating from that. The procurement, it's general services has the vehicles, but procurement has a third-party auction company that does facilitate. I don't know how many times a year.
Okay, so it doesn't go back to PEX.
Mm-mm.
I have a quick question. Are food vendors allowed in city parks?
Yeah, so we have a permit program here at Reed Park. We have Diana.
The Reed Park Lottery.
Yeah, does the lottery for that. And Donnie and I recently were talking about trying to do some designated food truck sites in other parks, and that could be a way. But that program probably would need to be a little more ironed out and part of the upcoming fee discussion. So that's one of the nicer things about talking about fees, is they've been fairly open to us coming up with some creative and innovative ways to generate revenue. And so we're putting in there some stuff. And one of the other things is that we often get asked to do things that are after hours, and we have no means to, recoup the money of the staff. So that's, another thing. Mesa has that on their books, and we would look at that as well, because we don't really like to say no. But we often do, because we can't afford for it to eat the budget that has been assigned for regular operating programming. So we're looking at everything right now when it comes to that.
I'm for a neighborhood park discussion in a minute.
So I believe Robin had put this as a reoccurring topic.
Yeah,
And I can tell you what I know for at the moment, which is we've been trying to track the church wanting, the church has indicated that they're planning to sell the parcel, but in two pieces. And they have been, up until about 3 weeks ago, dragging their feet on actual doing the separation through the planning development services. So right before, and the reason I know 3 weeks, because that's about when I left on vacation, and I remember seeing the message that they finally had put the application in. So it's not even listed for sale yet. So my recommendation would be likely that we bring this forward to the next meeting as well. And then that way Robin is here, because I know she was really interested in tracking that one. She attended the meeting we had with the Neighborhood Association, where they were advocating with Councilmember Dahl on continuing to pursue it. And then that way, by then, we should have a much better, because I don't believe that process with planning takes that long.
You know, I had to say that, but we're talking about buying more land to increase an existing park. Am I correct?
So it's an interesting situation. We used to lease it from the church and collectively allowed it to be a park, and we've done some investment. There was a basketball court. There was a playground and swing set. The playground had to be taken out. And so the park is now aging, but the church was not interested in it staying in that form, because they were starting to have some issues with homeless negatively impacting the church. At that time, we decided to go separate ways. They decided to fence it, lock it down, and that's when the Amphi Neighborhood Association really started to become more vocal, and that also coincided with that area being designated a VIVA site, which is one of the gun violence prevention locations. So it was a little heartbreaking for them that they lost this potential place to do activation in a positive way at the same time as that initiative launching. So, yes, there is an interest in adding to our inventory.
Because we just lost $2.1 million.
Yeah, but remember, this conversation happened before that was even known. And if this were to proceed, it's impact fees that would be used to acquire it, not general fund, but then the maintenance would be the hit to the general fund. And we'd have to figure that plan out. And that has been discussed with the council member and with the city manager's office.
You know, it just increases my resolve to, you know, raise revenue.
Mm-hmm.
All parks and recs, you know,
right.
Need the money. It's good, you know.
And maybe the neighborhood would want to help fundraise.
We will. Accept their help.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So CPRC awards. We had a lot of applications
mm-hmm.
in our packet. And do you want to remind us how many people we can nominate?
So in in the past, what we've discussed is trying to keep it to 10, 10, 10, because there's always been the anticipation that one day you could get a lot in all the sections. It does appear that even though, is it 18? I know that there's a duplicate. There's one duplicate, right?
Duplicates, many.
So it's 18 submittals, but
10 total.
It's 10 total, right? So I think you're fine. I mean, it all depends on what your preference is. What we were trying to avoid is one day not having to do 50 certificates to try and keep the capacity down. But I think you're still okay at this point.
So I did want to just mention that in the team, Tanya was nominated again,
mm-hmm.
And but she's not technically a team.
That just might be an error.
Okay. She might have been nominated a bunch of more times.
Right. And so, to me, it looks like she needs a raise.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You need to jump to our budget discussion.
I know. That's why I was laughing. But it looks like we've got some amazing people
mm-hmm.
and individuals and team members and nonprofit partners. I mean, truly, I would entertain a motion to accept all of them. You all, can we do that?
The only one I wanted to point out, and I don't know if I'm just being picky, but someone nominated themselves, and last year we ran into that too when we debated whether we would. I mean, and it's up to you if you want to or not.
Because that's not cool.
Well, we didn't say no.
We had two odd ones last year. We had the one guy that was using it as a way to highlight his desire for us to allow them to fish at the park.
Right, I do.
And then we had the other one that was like, we had to verify that they actually volunteered with us or partnered with us. So, but it's entirely up to you. It's the only one that I thought was a little odd in the group.
Unless she put her name in the, maybe. I don't know. I know there is an art teacher that is that old couple,
mm-hmm.
but that's not his name. And so, what do you think?
I have no issues with somebody self-nominating because it's not like we're saying that we're giving them the award. We're just grading the package, grading the award, right? And if they don't meet standards, then we don't do it. But.
No, we are.
So today you're selecting who would advance and actually be called in December. So in December we'll do an event.
Yeah.
We'll invite them to come and then we do the presentations. Diana makes the certificates and we get nice frames and that's an opportunity for us to celebrate them for their contribution to the department.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up all my stuff for some reason. I can't pull it up on my phone.
Yeah, you want to read
to see exactly which one that one was.
Now, is it just one awardee or we could choose a number?
No, it's up to you all how many you want to select.
Manos mentioned something about Tanya Kagan.
Well, Tanya, she's nominated many times, multiple times. So we have exactly 10 nominees, which we can do.
She's not going to get 10 certificates. She'll just get the one.
I asked that little extra bling on hers or something.
So with Ms. Fuentes, have we figured out if she has been a volunteer?
Do you know who she is?
Who's that?
Fuentes?
Diana.
Oh, Diana. At Cherry Avenue?
At the Senior Center Cherry Recreation Center.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Santa Rosa.
Oh,
Santa Rosa
Senior Center.
Cherry Recreation Center.
And Cherry Association in both places of
Santa Rosa.
Well, you know, she does a lot of work.
Yeah, she does volunteer at all of those centers, too.
Okay.
Do stuff, yeah.
I would not mind.
Antonio has to drop off.
Oh,
Antonio.
Bye.
Yeah, I feel bad that we don't have a couple of people here.
You know, I'm going to make a suggestion out there, but, you know, we need all the goodwill we can get. So why don't we nominate everybody on that list?
We are.
That was the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then let's go for it. You know?
I need a motion.
I motion to nominate everybody on the list, and except for the team list where we've got an individual.
I'll second the motion.
We'll second the motion. Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner appointment expirations discussion.
Diana's item.
Put that on there just to remind everybody that we have upcoming expirations, and that includes yourself.
I know.
And
I'm leaving. As of December 1st, only if the new councilman doesn't kick me out when she comes on.
Yeah, and then. And the other two would be Maurice Roberts and Robin McArdle. Robin would have had met the full 8-year term.
I spoke to Miranda a little while back, and if she's elected, I guess you can see me for the duration. Yeah, we'll see if she's elected.
So Robin is done.
What time?
At December 1st.
We need a party with all of our funds that we don't have.
Hello, Becky. Party for commissioner.
Well, we did something nice for Steve when he termed out, so we can do something similar.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll be part of that party. I will talk to Selena.
So, I mean, it may not be that you time out. I don't really see.
No,
that.
I am timed out.
Are you?
No, I'm not timed out. It's just that's when my contract ended. It's when the commission, when Mitchell Venus ended. Well,
it ties to who appointed you.
So for someone else.
Okay. So when Councilmember Fimbres left, Rocky reappointed Becky. So that's why she stayed consistent. And then Karen appointed you, right? So that's why both of the incumbents would need to reappoint or appoint who they want. I mean, it's up to them.
Okay. Yeah. It's just been my experience that they're just really grateful that they don't have one more thing to have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's I think in Ward 5, from what I understand, the chief of staff is staying, and she's told me that she will be recommending for Becky to stay. Miranda or
Jay.
The other, I can't think, Jay. We would just, I have no idea who their teams are, so I don't have any advance intel there.
They just have such a hard time filling these positions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I'm on Ward 5 for the CCPS, and I don't expect. It's such a hard commission.
Yeah,
to put it in,
Aura.
All right.
Okay, so basically, we're updated.
Thank you.
Okay. Reports and announcements, Parks and Rec commissioners. Darren, do you have anything to announce?
No, I do not.
Maurice, do you have something to announce?
I do. I got a request from Armory Park Neighborhood Association. They really appreciated Jasmine's presentation on the Santa Rita Park and Armory Park instructions. And Okay, I mean, being there's a high level of anxiety in Armory Park, okay, they're really, really looking forward to an update. She says, you know, bring Jasmine back with your, you know, our boards, and please let us know what's going on. So if she could make it next meeting, that would be really sweet.
When's your next meeting?
Next meeting is going to be, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's the third. It's the, well, I'll tell you.
The third Wednesday? I'm looking at the calendar now because we need to talk about the next meeting.
I'll tell you exactly.
The third Wednesday is the 19th. And what would they like her to present on?
They basically want to know what's going on. You know, did we get permits, you know, to, you know, to start working on that Armory Park? Or what's the story with the old building that was torn down at Santa Rita? They're very upset about it because it was a historical. And they basically want to know what's going on. How are we doing? You know, when can we expect to be able to walk the dogs again in Armory Park? You know, that kind of stuff, you know. So, you know, it's, I guess it's just an update. Let's see. All right, so there hasn't been a schedule yet, but it's you may want to contact David Backman-Williams. I think that's who you contacted the last time for your presentation. Okay, is no longer going to be president as per January 1st, so I guess we could have, if it's okay with you, okay, next month would be perfect for a presentation, and David Backman-Williams would be, you know, contact point as far as putting it together. I know our meeting should be, I think it's the 12th or the 11th. No, it's the 12th. Okay, so it's the 12th of next month, and it's going to be at Safford High School in the main auditorium. There's going to be a lot going on because this is the end of the year, and there's going to be elections for the Armory Park Neighborhood Association as well as for the Armory Park Historic Zoning Advisory Board. So, like I said, you know, it's going to be a big night. But that would be, you know, a good place, you know, to make your presentation, since there's going to be probably a bunch of public, you know, that will show up.
Yeah, we can reach out to the president to get, you know, dates formalized and get on the agenda.
I'm sorry?
We can reach out to the president for the Neighborhood Association to get on the agenda formally.
Yes, they asked me to bring it up, you know, at our last meeting. You know, I'm still a director for both the APNA and ABSA, but, you know, so APNA asked me to, you know, please, you know, tell them to come over and tell us what's going on.
I have a couple. Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that it looks, I'm going to be attending a meeting at my neighborhood association on Monday. Royo Chico and Julia Keene and Colonia Solanas are considering banding together to create a Reed Park Alliance, which would be fantastic. So we're looking into that. So that's, we haven't had any kind of Friends of Reed Park, anything like that for a very long time. This morning I was at Port Lowell Park at 9 o'clock with, Pat Burns and, Sheila, who is one of our nominees, and several other people, lovely young lady at the end. And, we were looking at the trees and trying to find getting updates on what the solution are. It looks like somewhere between 20 and 25 mature trees dying in that park due to lack of irrigation and other issues. And I know that Palo Verde had a similar issue. So, you know, it's kind of devastating to see in person where they're all browning out, dying of various different types. Aleppos are usually pretty, not very hardy as they are up against a lot, but there were other trees going as well. So it was a really good meeting. We learned a lot and I think we made some progress. But again, you know, there is no budget to replant nursery trees right now to make up for the trees that we're losing. So that's another budgetary issue. All right, that's it for me. How about you?
Well, I've got two things.
One, I was called this morning to say that at Joaquin Murrieta Park, there was a, they're happy with what's going on with the Little League fields and stuff, but when the elderly are walking through there, it's kind of hard for them. So they said, and I didn't go there, so I don't know what they're talking about, but it's hard for some of the seniors to be walking along there. I don't know. He just called me. Like this morning.
What's the surface for the walking? Isn't it concrete?
It's concrete. Yeah.
There's concrete paths.
He said it by the ball fields? Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to ask. Robert Jaramillo called me, and he's the one who walks all the time.
Oh, Bobby. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we could
call him and ask
I think
exactly.
We should just do a site visit with him.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Thank you.
And we've talked about that park before, but he's never mentioned that.
He did this morning.
Okay. No worries.
We're older now.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Bobby and I keep showing up in the same places, so
okay.
That's fine. We can show up there.
Okay. And then on November 1st, in the Peace Garden, we are having a very special author at story time. Her name is Cynthia Harmony, and she's going to be reading her book, A Flicker of Hope. And we have books for the families who show up.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be really nice. And it'll be tied into Dia de los Muertos, so it'll be
cool.
It'll be a fun story time Saturday, November 1st.
And Muerto there?
Love yes, we'll, they're going to bring that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds like a tasty plan.
Yeah. That's all we have got. So, yeah. Let's start.
We are getting ready to close our splash pads. On Halloween will be the last day for splash pads. High school swimming ends the week of November 3rd, so big teams at the pools are going to start slowing down. We just finished a new SSI class, so we got 10 new instructors for swim lessons that we're trying to prepare for summer season, so we'll have a good idea of how many lessons we'll be able to offer all the communities. We are starting session 2 of all of our AquaFit classes. We started last week, so all of our water aerobics classes are going. We have our biweekly research going for current staff to keep as many, to try to retain as many people as we can. And then we just finished up all of our swim lessons. We had a total of 298 people enrolled for our fall season. So we had 72 kids in a swim school for session 1 and 108 in session 2. So that's like the very beginner learn to swim, the little guys. The more advanced guys, we had 18 each a session, which is awesome. We had 6 adaptive parent-child classes, kids in a class, and we had 3 for their adaptive level 1, which is great. And then our swim fit classes we held at Udall, Quincy, and Clements. And Udall and Quincy had 15 participants. Clements had 14. And then for our adults at Udall, we had 9 adults in a swim lesson. Quincy had 7. And then our adult stroke development held at Catalina Pool had 13 people that went. So that was a good turnout for our lessons overall.
Thank you.
All right, recreation highlights. October, we had a few Halloween events. Early on October 10th, Quincy Douglas had their trunk or treat. They had a huge turnout, thousands of people. They had a lot of volunteers. They had a haunted house, donations from different agencies for candy donations and food for volunteers. And then just this past Saturday on the 18th, we had our Boo Bash at Lincoln Park, which is our other large department-wide event. Thousands of people again, probably 3,000 to 4,000 like in years past. We had entertainment, we had games, we had trunks and different vendors out there, or different sponsors. So a great turnout there. We have a smaller Halloween event at Santa Rosa next Friday on Halloween from 5:30 to 7:30, just for that community. Tomorrow we have a breast cancer awareness walk at Armory Park. The park is fenced off, but they are still going to do a perimeter walk and promote that awareness, and that's at 10:30 tomorrow. Upcoming in November, we have our last open house for Clements. That is on November 7th. Last chance to get 50% off your memberships for the regional and restricted passes. That is from 9 to 6.
And then Senior Olympics is not until January, but registration does open up November 3rd. So we have our booklets out. This is for 50 plus. Tons of events available. Online is available to view all the different events. And then finally, our big event for the fall is our Fall Family Festival at Reed Park, which will be on the 15th of November from 12 to 7. Similar format as last year, but we're going to reduce the footprint a little bit.
What time?
12 to 7.
7?
9? 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., yeah. It'll be more of a midday, and then we'll have some activities at night, which includes s'mores and a little walk. S'mores. And maybe an activity on the pond there.
So actually, it's a good example for the subcommittee's awareness. A lot of the money that we're using for Family Fest was donated through sponsorships, and once it goes into that account, we're able to use it again. You know, use it as long as it's still for that event. So that's also helping us. Andy just got back from Hawaii. That's her probably the most glowing of all of us right now.
Next week on Wednesday, we have a groundbreaking for the Francisco Elias Esquer Park project. We are building a dog park using funding from Housing and Community Development, and then the $407 will be are allocated for a pedestrian bridge and walking path. We will also be on Sunday at Esquer Park for Cyclovia. We'll have some information about that project at Esquer Park, plus also just kind of general information about department activities. We'll be sharing a tent with Housing and Community Development. So roll on by if you're at that event. Currently open, we have a playground preference survey for Bristol Park. That is a Prop 407 project. And then in the next few weeks, we will be launching the Purple Heart Park Playground Replacement Survey, and that funding is courtesy of Ward 4.
I got nothing. Aaron got it all. Good job.
I think budget's really been the major focus on my end. But tying into Jasmine's updates, we were approached by the same company that did the Fort Lowell Playground 2 years ago, which is a really unique opportunity where they are going to be having their conference here in Tucson again, their sales conference. And it's a real sales boost, and they want to highlight all the new features and new playground designs that they have. And so they came back to us and asked if we would have a playground that needed to be replaced. Well, yeah, we got tons, but it had to meet certain criteria. And what's really cool about this one is Thompson Park was called out to get a brand new playground, but it had two playgrounds in not great shape. And in discussions, we knew the amount of money we had, we just would not be able to do both. So we pitched them the idea of Thompson Park, which means that they actually have to build the playground offsite and then bring it in after their conference. But I guess they love us. And they said yes. And the reason why it's really awesome is because we partner with them, they give us the playground at a significant discount. And so we are able to replace both playgrounds, and including a bank of swings with both playgrounds in the park. So it wasn't even supposed to be done until phase 3, so we're actually replacing the playgrounds early and using the money to get even more investment with the new assets there. So we're really excited about that, and that'll be in January. So they're going to build the playgrounds at Los Ventana in a conference room.
Wow.
And then at the end of conference, dismantle them and bring them straight and install. I mean, install will take a couple days, but I think that's kind of neat. Yeah. Well, that's it for me.
Thank you. So, commission future agenda items and next meeting dates. UTEC in November.
So the challenge we always have in November is that the date falls on the day before Thanksgiving. So we've talked about the fact, too, that we have term limits as of December 1st. So my recommendation would be to look at a date in November that you think most conceivably works for everybody. And because we can notice a change of date, right? Like if it's not a Wednesday, mm-hmm. we can notice that. Because then that's an ability to make an effort to at least, because December we probably won't end up having a meeting. We'd have enough members. We would just need to meet quorum of the filled seats at that point, because we'll be short too as of December 1st.
Maybe just shift it to the week prior.
It's
okay to me. The 19th
works for me.
It works for me.
Okay.
19
it is. Right. And then we can. But I mean, the majority of membership says the 19th works for them. So I think that's a smart move to do that.
Can we let the commissioners that weren't here know about the fact that we're losing folks?
Mm-hmm.
And so that they know from December on.
Yeah, okay. Future agenda items you had: recognizing Parks History Process and BCOA meal program.
Yeah, so that was a Robin reoccurring. We'll bring forward the AMFI because we know that is something that she wanted to know about. I'm not sure we're going to have any updates of PCOA by that time. We're just trucking forward with what we still have.
Right. So it says November 26th and then December 24th. So are we scrapping December?
We can talk about December with the membership at the November meeting and just see what you all want to do. Sometimes we don't, because we usually invite you to come to the whatever presentation and then travel. So sometimes we've heard where we don't have a desire to do a meeting. So I would say let's talk about that in the November 19th meeting.
And what about, and you're going to talk about the two different applications, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So we have nothing else. Well, we have a motion to adjourn.
We do.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I want to say 10 to 4.
10 to 4.